You're listening to The Broker Show with a Broker Joe, your expert in all things real estate. Hot topics, market trends, even your questions. It's all on the table. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch.
Hey, it's The Broker Show. I am The Broker Joe. Thank you so much for tuning in and hearing us out today. We have some great stuff in store for you. I am The Broker Joe and Etch.
I am Etch.
It's good to be here with you today.
It is. I'm excited. Right. Halloween coming up.
It is. It is cooler right around
weather.
The corner.
Cooler
Chris.
Weather.
I'm still recovering from putting my boat in last night. I underestimated my tolerance. The blood's thin this time of year. You know, so it's out there in my shorts, which I stubbornly hang on to the last minute every year, complaining to my boys about how cold it was, and they just, Dad, are you kidding me? Are you kidding
young
me?
Boys,
are
you
T-shirts,
kidding me?
Shorts, yeah.
They're the same kids that'll jump in Lake Michigan in April and just
absolutely.
Be like, what? You're like, hypothermia is what?
We love doing this stuff in Michigan. we love it. Find us a cold body of water to jump into all the time.
Yep.
Hey. Yeah.
Speaking of which, fall, I feel like it's going to be over in a blink of an eye, and, you know.
It always is.
Snow is going to be hitting soon, but I like to just revel in all that is fall right now.
Yeah.
You just bought a new truck.
I did. I got a new truck. I have been driving a low-profile Cadillac with rear-wheel drive. It's been horrific.
Yeah.
And I barely make it in and out of everywhere I go. It's always a gamble.
Yeah.
It's always an adventure. And so a little less adventure this year. Hopefully I have a truck, four-wheel drive. I'm excited to conquer the year with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, get into those hard-to-reach properties.
Yeah. We have this big Halloween event coming up this year. And I'm this weekend, actually, is coming up. It's countywide. Basically, everyone's coming to Main Street. And it's going to be a good time. I'm trying to decorate my truck. Figure out what it's going to look like. So
that should be fun. Yeah. Zombie mobile with all the blood handprints.
Maybe I'll make it a haunted truck or something.
There you go. Yeah. That'd be a good time. Speaking of haunted, I was just reading this story. It's out of Ontario, Canada.
And there's a place we were talking about this. Yeah.
I believe it's called the Regal Theater or something. So they're looking basically to get some extra money to do some refurb, some upgrades and stuff. And they're selling raffle tickets right now. And this is, I think, is a great way to raise some money because it just kind of piques everyone's interest and just kind of goes, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
You buy a $25 raffle ticket. It gives you the winner that they're going to draw on Halloween night.
Yep.
The winner of it for $25 gets to haunt the theater, which is currently not haunted, after they die.
Fantastic.
Isn't that a great promotion?
Someone in that marketing department needs a raise.
Seriously.
That's a good one. I'd buy that ticket, I think.
I mean, I would probably end up haunting my ex before I would haunt a theater, but I mean... It's just because there's just so much of that fun, exciting stuff between us still. So
No, I had a client a while ago, and every now and then you have a buyer or a seller that talks about how either they think their house is haunted or they want to know if the house is haunted.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't have to legally disclose in Michigan if your house is haunted. It doesn't have to be legally disclosed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I did sell a house. It's been a number of years, probably 7 or 8 years ago, but the buyer called me at 2 a.m. The morning after the closing. And she called me 3-4 times. I picked up and she said, "Our house is haunted. You sold me a haunted house. I can't live here."
What?
They walked away from the home. It was, I was very sad, but she was pretty convinced that it was haunted and she did not want to didn't want to stick around for it, man.
So wait a minute, but she already bought it?
She bought it.
She bought the house.
It was the night they closed. The night they closed, that night, she was alone. Her husband was on the road or something working, and she called me and said, "The house is haunted. You should have told me. Someone should have told me."
Can you back out that, like,
no,
after one day, though?
It's
That's
too
what
late.
I said. So what did she do? She was just stuck with the house, right?
No. They walked away from it. She was that convinced.
So how do you walk away from that, though?
Didn't make a payment. Gave it back to the bank.
Wow.
No kidding.
Dude.
For real. For real. Yeah.
So how did she say that it was haunted? Like, what was some of her things?
She heard things. She felt things. You know, she heard something fall downstairs, I believe was the primary thing. And she went to look in doors and all that stuff. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's called like old pipes.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
hey, you know, it was a young couple. Maybe it was a lot for them. You know, to tackle. But I think at the end of the day, she didn't want to be home alone.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably a big deal moving out of mom and dad's house or wherever she was, and out in your own place is a lot to consider.
You know,
it's
I've
to take seriously.
Heard a lot of stories of people trying to get it like out of something due to buyer's remorse, but that one takes the cake, seriously.
Yeah.
That's something.
I hate it when that happens. I hate it when that happens. You try as an agent to prep buyers, prep sellers for expectations, and sometimes there's things you don't see coming, such as ghosts.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't relax in a house like that. But, you know, that's what we're talking about today.
We're talking about expectations. Setting the right expectations. It's like, have you ever seen those Arby's commercials? So I love Arby's. But I got to say, the commercials, you look at these sandwiches. Mm-hmm. You look at these sandwiches, yep. You know, the guy with a deep voice. And these sandwiches look like they'd satisfy a bear coming out of hibernation. They're crazy. They're enormous. Yeah. They got cheese and all this stuff dripping down. And then you get it. You get there and you get it and you unwrap it. And it's kind of flat and disappointing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like that workout program that I keep trying. It's I try. You're gonna look like this guy in 30 days, and you come out flat and disappointing.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Yeah. They say you're gonna be Thor, and you look like Jack Black.
Yeah, it's, no kidding,
it's,
right?
It's terrible.
And speaking of which, we got a little graphic of that right now.
absolutely.
So on your as you can see on your screen on your left, there's Chris Hemsworth as Thor, and then there's Jack Black working out and doing his thing as well. So, but we have our own little version of that because there's Joe with his expectations. And here's the reality. Here I am. Yeah,
it's not that bad, Etch. You would never wear that, man. I've never seen you wear that.
I don't know. Every now and then I get my fiance because I'll walk around with sweatpants and I pull them up like up to my boobs.
Oh, sure,
and just kind of walk around the house.
That's
She's like,
fantastic.
Just stop.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, well, you're not all attracted.
Are you not into this?
This is what you're going to get, honey. You know, that kind of thing. And she's just like, gosh, and she shudders a little
bit.
Just
like something I would do. Absolutely. It's the same thing with buying a home, though. So we hear all this technology and the bird's eye cameras and the 3D tours and all this stuff that agents do to serve the seller, show a house, and the buyers show up and they feel disappointed.
Yeah.
They feel like the house isn't what it was portrayed to be. Or maybe you're trying to prep your home to sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw this DIY project online. You saw Joanna Gaines pull it off. You saw someone, right? And you're trying to do it, and it just doesn't look like it should. It can be very frustrating. And that is our lead-in. We are on Enjoy the Process Part 2, which is just learning how to enjoy the journey in buying or selling a home a little more. I'm going to dive in, tell a few stories here, Etch.
Yeah,
but first, let's get into the meat of it. I just want to say this. Don't make it about perfection.
Mm-hmm.
There's a saying, for fast acting relief, try slowing down. And I think what a lot of people do is they get so anxious. We talked about that last week. They get anxious, they get nervous, right? And it kind of clouds your judgment, clouds your vision. So setting expectations, slowing down, and trying to enjoy it, you're accomplishing a goal one step, one day at a time. And as you look at homes, you listen to the advice of others, you're going to draw a line in between what you're prepared to tackle and what you just are not willing to tackle. And that's a lot of times where you end up settling on the home that you purchase or what you're willing to do as you're prepping your home for sale. You find that you find the lines that you're willing to draw. You don't set unrealistic expectations for yourself. Got to count the cost. Be creative. Have fun with it. There's so much you can learn through the process of especially prepping a home. I'm on my 10th home. I'm on my 10th one. And so every time we've got to sell it, right? And so we always get a little better at what we want to tackle, what we're going to spend, how we're going to prepare the home for the next buyer. Your home always looks the best right before you sell it.
Yeah.
It's kind of that rule of thumb. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And so you're handing over something really special to someone else. You want them to feel special. You want them to walk in the home to speak to them.
Yeah. So, well, it's kind of like when you buy a new car and you're trading your old one in. You know, you drive up, even though every one of the people who are like taking the train in, they're like, don't worry about cleaning it out. Yet we all still do the same thing. I got to go and spend $200 to get this bad boy detailed because it might up the value of my trade in.
Sure.
You know, at the same time, people aren't going to sit there and be like, oh, there's a spot on the rug right there that wasn't taken up. So no deal. Okay. No deal.
All depends. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, you know,
no, there are deal breakers and then there are things that are not deal breakers. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there is this... there's this YouTube channel that I like.
Yeah.
So if you're a home seller out there and you're trying to set a budget and you see all these great ideas, these things people are doing, you're like, how am I going to afford that? Who am I going to pay to do it? If you're feeling crafty, go to, it's called HomeDit. HomeDit.
Mm-hmm.
HomeDit. Mm-hmm. Kind of a play on HomeDit.
Right.
Right? So it's like a noun. Mm-hmm. HomeDit. I homed it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure it out, but it is really they have some really clever things you can do with pallets and wood and very cheap kind of things you find laying around your home. So check out HomeDit. It's a great channel. A lot of new ideas popping up on there all the time. I've shared a few now and then. I've looked at a few and say, yeah, I'm not doing that. But it's all in what you want to do and what look you're going for. But if you're buying a home, so when you're trying to get in the mindset to buy a home, you're working with your agent, you're setting up searches, you're trying to figure out what your priorities need to be. And there's three main things, Etch. Mm-hmm. When you're buying a home, you have price, location, and condition. Those three things are what set the tone and really decide ultimately what you're going to buy, right? Mm-hmm. Those are three search parameters. Two of those, the price and the location, are search parameters that you can put into whatever app, whatever application you're using to search for your home, right? And so I think that focusing on those things, and in that order, I think price is number one, right? And then you got to get the right location.
Yep.
And then the condition isn't as apparent, right? You actually have to see the home and look through it. But if it'll really take a lot of the stress, a lot of the guesswork out, if you can be realistic about those things and get on the same page. If you have two people looking, there's this in the RE/MAX app, which I try to get my clients to use as much as they can.
Sure.
There's this awesome feature. Mm-hmm. And your agent and an infinite number of other people can get in on this app and see each other's searches together, but it's built for, like, if you've got a partner, a husband, a wife, or two people buying a home along with their agent. And what they can do is, when they like a home, you can see when the other person has liked the same home.
Oh,
the agent can
that's
see,
cool.
right?
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's like a double heart feature.
Sure.
So small heart, one person, two hearts, big person, you can tell who's liking what.
Nice.
Getting them on the same page, right?
I like that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's really cool. So I've had a client before where they sent me a listing and I said, Jim didn't like that yet. You better talk to Jim. He didn't click the heart, right? So but all joking aside, it's important to be on the same page, set expectations, and that combination of three things can really get a lot of that out of the way if you're settled on what you're going to do there and you have the location figured out. And those things can evolve, but make sure you share it with each other, make sure you're on the same page. And sometimes there's people disappointed when they'll say to their agent, hey, you didn't send me this house. Oh my, what's the address? Well, it's 10 miles outside of the search setup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, draw a broad scope. If the perfect house that's 25 minutes away, if you would go 25 minutes for the perfect house, tell your agent that. Set your search up to reflect that.
Yeah.
Go broad and just remember to be patient, right? Especially right now when the housing market is really, really tight.
Yeah.
If you're looking in that way.
Because that's really important, especially because my fiance and I, like right now for my job, we're literally like 5 minutes away.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, what a luxury.
She's 30 minutes away.
Oh, no.
So we're sitting here trying to go, okay, what's the perfect, because I can go out one direction, but then that means it's 45 minutes out of her way.
Yeah.
As opposed to, okay, well, I went halfway and split the difference with you. So now it's 15 minutes, but now it's 45 minutes. So this doesn't make sense. So now we have to, so we kind of narrow it down. So location is a big one.
It is.
Especially if you're working on two different sides of the county. Or even in a different county. So that's really important. Coming together, I like that heart that you guys are talking about. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And ultimately, there's things that people have to learn to compromise on, right? And I think that going in and going through this process, educating yourself, and again, I think we talked about last week about making sure there's things that you draw a line on, right? Things that you're not going to engage in, that you're going to hire out, or this is a deal breaker for us. But also, being on the same page with the location and what projects are actually realistic for you and your family to tackle.
Yeah,
I think that's part of the big picture. And so, you never know what is going to turn the buyers on to a particular home. So you have to get the price right, and location's important. But that being said, there are some things that are just, especially the location, I've seen that shift for people.
Yep.
They find the perfect home. They find something that opens their eyes to a neighborhood or a waterfront or a feature that they just had no idea was there, and they fall in love with that again. So having an open mind, not setting up the trenches, if you will, setting up the walls to hem yourself in, keeping things somewhat open and narrowing down as you learn and as you grow through the process is good. There's a story coming to mind. There's a couple years ago, there was a buyer. It was my listing agent came in with a buyer. And you know why they wanted this house? This particular house they honed in on they looked at all kinds of houses. They came back to this house. And I said, I always do. Hey, what do they love about it? They said, well, they love the ceiling heights. They love the ceiling heights because they want to be able to sword fight indoors.
I love
sword
it.
Fight indoors. They and it was the That's only awesome. House they found that had 17-foot ceilings, That's which apparently great. If you have like a long sword, not 17, it was like 15, 16, 17 feet. And they have these long swords that they're jumping and dancing. And it was the only one that they could fight, that sword fight great. Indoors, right? It was a and they love the home. It's a beautiful home.
Is it like fencers? Or are they like, I don't we do know. This like swashbuckling? Like,
I have parked across the street with binoculars, you know, right? trying to see what's going on in
yeah,
there.
And I don't know that you want to. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a little bit of a creepy type of foreplay to me.
It must be
me.
Some sort of swashbuckling deal. Maybe pirates, who knows? But it yeah. is, they take it very seriously, obviously. Sure. It was a big, big deal to them. Mm-hmm. And so you never know. If yeah. you have a unique home, thousands of people are going to see your home when it goes on the market. Thousands right. of them. You can only sell it to one person. Mm-hmm. Only one person. So that one person that finds your home appealing, unique, inviting, and exactly what they want for whatever reason, you just never know what that might be.
Yeah.
And there's other things that happen. I had a client up in Reed City and went to show her this home, and her name's Kelly. And Kelly and I are going through the house, and she's liking it, and it's fitting a lot, checking a lot of the boxes. And we open the closet in the master bedroom, mm-hmm. okay? And we open the closet, and the house is empty. It's moved out of. It's pretty much turnkey. And she opens a closet, and there is a big box sitting there on a low shelf. And the shelf says, with her spelling, Kelly with two E's, says Kelly's Closet. Right on that box in the closet. Goes, oh my God, I can't believe it. So she sat there and goes, oh, it's meant to be. This house is mine. This yeah. is my closet, right? So, I mean, don't make your decision based on what the what's written on the cardboard box.
Yeah.
But to her, it did Jeez. Feel like a confirmation
yeah.
of what she was already feeling.
Right.
I had another client that there was a listing I had up in Leroy, waterfront, mm-hmm. beautiful waterfront home. And these people call and they want to see this place. And so I go up there and meet them at the spoken time. And mm-hmm. they show up big hurry. They're just on their way up north to visit family, right? Huge hurry, huge rush. And they're running through the garage, running through the house, and just kind of peeking around. Well, we just wanted to see it, which is great, which is wonderful, fantastic. And so, you know, it was that storm where all the basements flooded. Up in Reed City and Leroy.
Oh yeah.
And this storm broke loose while we were in this house. In the 5 minutes that we were inside of this mm-hmm. house, it absolutely broke loose. And I'm not exaggerating. I don't know when the last time is before or since that I've seen it rain that hard. It would have been just impossible to go to the car. It was mm-hmm. raining that hard. There was branches coming down. It was just pouring, and the cars were up the hill, up near the road.
Yeah.
So we were caught inside this house. And so they were pretty upset. We're going to be late for an appointment. They were in a huge, huge rush, but we just couldn't get out of there.
Yeah.
So we went onto the covered front porch and sat there and watched the rain come over the lake.
That's cool.
And we were in there for half an hour.
Yeah.
And we were just quiet, just sitting there. A couple little comments, a couple little jokes back and forth, mm-hmm. waiting for the rain to subside.
Right.
And as it started to let up in a pocket, he looked at me and said, We're buying this house. It was over. It was yeah. over. So, you know, these are extreme examples, right? So much of it is logic and reason and necessity mm-hmm. and all those things. But at the end of the day, what I said earlier, for fast acting relief to the anxiety that can accompany buying or selling, just slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down and take your time. Enjoy it with the people around you. Watch that DIY video. You know, take your time and walk through that house. Talk to people about it. Enjoy the experience. There's so much that can be gained from it. And this is a long life. This is not, maybe you're going to be in this house forever, but probably not. In the United States, in 2019, the average time people spent in their home was just over 5 years that they owned a home.
Oh, wow.
That yeah. is down from over 25 years just 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So 25, 30 years ago, 25 years was the average time people spent in mm-hmm. their home. Now it's down to almost 5.
Yeah.
You're going to learn. You're going to grow. You're going to sell you're probably going to sell your home. You're probably mm-hmm. going to move on to something bigger, better, different location. But mm-hmm. things change so much. Enjoy it. Take it one day at a time.
Yeah, we really still enjoy have, this process. We still have my childhood home in the family. Like, we still own
Do
it.
Do you really?
Yeah, I lived there for 24
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And my dad still is holding on to it.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like now he keeps everything in storage over there. He's like, oh, that's my storage place. I call it his hoarding space.
My parents just left the home they've been in for over 30 years.
Yeah.
Almost 32 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm on number 10 in 14 years.
Yeah.
I'm the one sinking the average, Etch, honestly. I'm bringing that average down.
Someone's got to do it. I mean,
someone's got to do it. Absolutely.
Can't have things being like normal, can we?
So, after all the boxes are checked, the final decision comes from the heart. I mean, this is a huge thing. This home is something you're going to enjoy. You're going to grow. You're going to really value. You're going to make a lot of memories and just be ready to write your story in that place. The last home, the second to last home, trying to keep them all straight. Second to last home I sold, we were there for 4 years. A lot of big things happened in our family. Life changes, growth, good things. And I deal with homes all the time, right? So the emotions of it, I don't want to say jaded, but it becomes part of the routine. I watch it and try to empathize with it. But I cried when I left this home. Just stood in the backyard, walked up the hill, and just cried because of all the great things that happened there. And we did. We learned to settle down and take our time, really love the home, love the property, love each other in that place. And it was good.
There's just something magical about a home where memories are.
There is.
And I think that's the reason why we still have our childhood home that's there. I mean, I grew up, since I was brought home from the hospital, that was my home.
Yeah.
And it's weird to drive by it now because, I mean, it's in Scottville.
Yeah.
So it's like right over by the library.
Oh,
there.
Sure.
And when you drive by it, for me, it's, I don't even look at it anymore because it's like, that's not home.
Right.
There's memories there,
mm-hmm.
but it's not home.
Yeah.
I'll walk in there and the smells will come back.
Yep. Yeah.
And then that's when the memories start coming back, you know? And it's kind of funny because out in Pinconning, which is over in the Thumb, that's where my father, his grandmother lived. So he spent a lot of time when he was on the road for working for the railroad and that kind of thing, spending time with her. So every now and then he'll be like, let's take a drive over to Pinconning.
Yeah.
So we drive over there and he's always just kind of driving up and stopping in front of that house. I'm like, Dad, come on, man. People are going to like call the cops on us or something. I'm like, let's just go and get some over to the cheese factory, get some cheese, you know, that kind of thing. But it was, I witnessed something that was really neat for me, at least. My dad was looking at the house and this guy came out of the house and I'm like, oh, here it is. Oh, this is bad news bears. So like something's going to happen.
Sure.
You know, this guy's like, what are you staring at?
Yeah.
Who are you? You know, that kind of thing. Bringing out things are different. You know, people bring guns to places now. And the guy was really cool. He just came out and said, hey, just, so you
checking things out. What's up?
Everything
out here?
Okay? Yeah. And he's like, and then my dad explained why he was out in front of the house, and the guy explained that you know he purchased this house from somebody else at some point in time.
That's so cool.
And then started talking about some of the add-ons that they've done, and then my dad was like, you know, here's what's funny is that never used to be there, and it used to be like this, and it used to be like that, and is the kitchen still like this? So they started talking, and I mean, we ended up sitting there for an hour and a half just shooting the wax, you know, back and forth about what my dad's memories of the house were, what the area was like, what's changed, the gullies that they used to run around in when they were kids and everything, and seeing just a genuine smile come on my dad's face about reminiscing about all that stuff. There's something about a home that does that, you know?
It does.
It's the memories that are kept there. And that's why it's so important, I think, to relax and enjoy this process like we're talking about here. Because what else do you have? You rush through it, then just like everything else in life, you wake up one day, you're on your deathbed, and it's like, I didn't even stop to smell the roses.
Yep, and it's a huge investment. It's a huge decision, huge investment, and there's a lot of things like we were discussing that go into it. But at the end of the day, you do want to find a way to love the place and turn it over to someone else. Next week, Etch, we're going to be talking about investing.
Ooh,
which
nice.
I'm very excited. I love this topic.
Cool.
And having sold 10 homes myself and obviously helped many, many others, there's an art and science to it. I think the dream is that people want to get in and make sure they're protecting equity.
Yeah.
Because this is like a piggy bank, right?
Yep.
So, you know, if you go out and buy a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
That car depreciates in value the moment you drive it off that lot.
Yep.
And every second and moment and mile you drive it thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
All the while you're paying interest on it, right? You're paying interest on a payment and the value is going down. You're trying to pay it off. If you paid cash, then you're fortunate because you're not paying that interest as you have a depreciating asset that you're driving. And a house it should be the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. It should be you're buying something, you're paying a payment, you're paying your balance down as the equity goes up. It's going the other way. You're building a piggy bank. So mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that next week. I'm excited to share some tips and tricks and some things I've learned along the way.
No, it's going to be, I want to pick your brain about that topic too, because that's kind of where we're at right now.
Sounds
great. Like, okay, so what's the equity in our house? So this will be a really interesting topic. So touch base on that one. We'll be good to go. Let's get into our socials, because now we're kind of up and running.
Oh,
we got
yes.
a couple of weeks in on this podcast now. We're on episode 4 already. Can't even believe it's on episode 4.
Yep.
Some of our social media. So
we're on Facebook. We're on Facebook at it is The Broker Joe. If you go follow Facebook, if you go over to Instagram, it is The Broker Joe. So at The Broker Joe on Instagram. Same on Twitter. At The Broker Joe. And we are getting in the groove, keeping you updated on the topics that we've covered, on the topics that are upcoming. And I would love to hear from you. Comment, like, comment, share, all that great stuff. But really, what we're about is hearing back from you.
Yeah.
And eventually, we'll be going live with the show, Etch.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Once
That's going to be great.
We'll be going live. And I would love to get your feedback and your topics. I would love for people to pick your topic. Tell me what you want to hear about. Tell me your story. And I'll comment on it. Maybe I'll have my own story to share with you.
There you go.
I am very excited about it.
Good
stuff. It's
going to be fun. So tune in next week. Great topic, equity and unlocking
investment.
The piggy bank in
Absolutely.
Your home sale. So I am Etch.
I am Joe. I'm The Broker Joe.
There you go.
And we'll see you next week.
Sounds great.